Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kurt Cosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for January the 25th. In the year of our Lord, 2016, this is Liberty Roundtable Live, where the goal always remains the same. That is to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founders. It's incredibly simple. We use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide. We're also convinced the checks and balances put in place by our founders are absolutely brilliant, and the solution to the problems we face. Without further ado, welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live. Things are heating up in Burns, Oregon. The FBI is starting to get kind of crazy, we think. With details, Brandon Curtis, president of Idaho 3%. Welcome back, my friend.
Good morning. How are you guys?
You know what? We're doing well, but we're kind of worried about Ammon and crew at this point. I guess things are ramping up there, aren't they?
Yeah, we've seen a huge increase in personnel over the last 3 days in Burns there.
Now, it's not personnel that's, kind folks. It's not people doing yoga classes, right?
No, we've seen, we personally counted myself, and some of my team, personally counted over 200 additional FBI vehicles in town in about a 48-hour period. Maybe half of those vehicles had two-man units, so that would give you about 300 additional personnel total in Burn. When asked about it, they said, "Well, it's our shift change." But I didn't see very many leaving, so that's what we counted on Saturday morning.
So, what do we got? About 200 government federal vehicles there.
Yeah, that's additional to what was already there.
And what was there before? I mean, how many are we talking about?
50 or 60.
So 250 total now.
Correct.
Wow, and then we think 400 or maybe 500. Local, state, federal personnel on the ground?
Well, those guys are rotating every 5 days, so we probably have 100 to 200 on the ground at any time that are local.
How about FBI?
250 probably vehicles in town for FBI. So 350 to 400 total law enforcement in Burns, Oregon.
What do you think this all means? You know, I don't think, no matter how right Ammon is on the points he's making, I don't see how this can end well, Brandon.
Well, even speaking to the FBI gentleman yesterday, you know, they claim they still have no offensive plan and they still want it to end peacefully. And my question to him was, well, why the ramp up of personnel? What's that about? And that's when I was told it was a shift change that was taking place over the weekend. We literally saw every hotel room was occupied. We saw them carrying gear into their rooms, personnel into their rooms, unloading their vehicles with tactical gear. That's what they're saying. It was a shift change, but clearly, from what I can see, it appears to be a ramp up. The other thing that we noticed was out at the staging area, the airport in Burns, they're staging a lot of equipment like porta potties, generator light poles and towers. Which would be indicative of, roadblock type equipment. So they may be getting ready to do roadblocks and, put a perimeter in place. There's 5 ways in and out of Burns, Oregon, either through highways or roadways. So they may be looking at, isolating the town itself with that much equipment.
What about their demeanor? Has their demeanor changed a ton?
All the law enforcement's demeanor has changed to a more aggressive, stance. I went to go shake three deputy sheriff's hands that are actually Harney County just to thank them for being there, and they absolutely refused to shake my hand.
What do you mean by refuse to shake your hand? Why behave like that? You think that's going to help a peaceful resolution?
Well, I think maybe there's a plan in place so they don't need to be nice anymore, which 4 days ago they were nice, waving, shaking hands. So for whatever reason, I have my own opinion why that is now. I think it's just that they know that there's a plan in place by the FBI, so they don't need to be nice to us anymore. But it's a really change in the demeanor. It's very unsettling. As a matter of fact, I kind of made a joke with a gentleman. They were standing in front of the courthouse, and I said, "Hey, guys, it's all right. I'm here to pay my speeding ticket." And one of the Hardy County deputies said to me, "Oh, don't worry. You don't have any speeding tickets yet." In a real just a demeaning voice, almost like it was a threat. And I'm like, wow, okay. So I can really see where how this has turned.
Did you have a speeding ticket?
No, I was just being sarcastic.
I see. So yeah, they don't have it yet.
They were actually blocking the entrance to the courthouse door so people couldn't come in when Ammon Bundy was down there talking to the undersheriff a few days ago.
Why can't people come in? Do they feel like they're going to try to take over the courthouse or something?
Well, I guess they've already taken it over. So, I mean, you know, I'm not sure. And my point, you know, was to go up and shake their hands. Those were the Harney County guys. Those were the local guys, you know, and I wanted to go up and shake their hand and thank them for being there. And they wouldn't shake my hand. They were, you know, I took that as an idle threat, and it's really unfortunate.
They might just try to cordon off the refuge entirely and set up checkpoints and burns. Is that kind of the idea?
Well, that's what we're gathering from the equipment we're seeing being staged out at the airport. You know, anything at this point would be an assumption, but, you know, light generator towers, porta potties, things like that would be indicative of equipment to do that.
Now, are they actually shadowing individuals around town like you guys? I mean, they're calling it the militia. I'm not confident everybody can be called militia everywhere. They want you to believe everybody's militia. But they're shadowing people in town now also?
Yeah, they're shadowing people in town. They're shadowing, you know, even citizens of the county. We had one gal on Saturday. We got back to our hotel room, and there was a note on the door to call this number immediately. So we called this phone number, and it was a local resident there. She didn't know who else to call. And she went out to walk her dogs outside of town about 20 miles outside of Burn. She took her two small children and the dogs just to go out there. She's a local. And when she got out there, 20 miles out of town, there's these two blacked out or dark windows and, you know, Yukon or Tahoe's following her. So she felt, you know, threatened. So she actually went up and confronted them. And it turns out it was two FBI vehicles. And they refused. They said, "Well, we work for a federal agency, but we cannot tell you our names or we can't tell you who we're with," which is illegal. But they're harassing the local citizens, following them, following a mother with her two small children 20 miles out of town.
But isn't this what the fire marshal basically quit over to, saying, "You know what? You guys are lying. You're creating this fear for no reason." And wasn't it basically the FBI harassing local county officials, and they blamed it on the militia too? Isn't that the story?
Yes, that's exactly what happened with the fire chief. The ex-fire chief stepped down because of the dishonest doings of the feds. Judge Grafty there in town, you know, with his criminal behavior. There's a lot of things that go deep down into that. There's a lot of corruption there within the county that we're uncovering. It's just unbelievable.
All right, as far as I understand, the sheriff's department's all barricaded still, too, right? It's like Fallujah lights and stuff?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. As a matter of fact, when we went up there the other day, Ammon went over there and caught the undersheriff, so we just kind of hung back and just kind of did an overwatch of the area. And we were met at the gate with what looked like to be military troops. There were SWAT team members, maybe, with full tactical gear. They were wearing chest plates. It was just unbelievable. One of the local citizens actually tried to walk up closer to the barricade to just kind of listen to what was going on. An older gentleman and the female there that was at the gate all tacked out, grabbed him by the shoulder and tried to stop him. And he flipped around and said, "Don't touch me. You're in my county and you're in my town and I'm a resident here and you need to get out of here." You know, so obviously there's a built tension.
The mainstream press isn't going to report that they want the FBI to leave, are they?
What's that? I'm sorry?
The mainstream press isn't reporting that the town's people want the FBI to leave, are they?
No, they're not. No.
Okay, just making sure. Cause now, I also find that interesting. The FBI, there's been no demands made for Ammon to even leave the facility, right?
There has been two conversations over the phone with the FBI negotiator. The FBI plainly tried to call Ammon Bundy 14 times in a row. But Ammon's phone, when you try to call it, is supposed to a busy signal, so you can't get through to him. So he called the FBI back. spoke to a negotiator, and then they set the time for the next day to talk, and they did that. It was a very short conversation. There was some live stream video of that. I was not there for that conversation. It was less than 5 minutes. And basically the response that Ammon got during that conversation was, well, we have to run this up the chain of command.
In other words, we don't even have anybody that can really talk to you yet. We say we want to peacefully solve this. You're making yourself completely available, even going out to the airport to talk to somebody the first time, and hey, they don't have anybody available. Kind of very strange behavior by the feds, in my humble opinion. If they want to peacefully resolve this, they're sure not going about it in a logical way for a simpleton like me. Ladies and gentlemen, our guest, Brandon Curtis. He's the president of Idaho 3%, as part of the Pacific Patriot Network and more. We'll talk in seconds. Liberty Roundtable, live.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com. and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
This is Joyce Riley from the Power Hour, and I want to introduce you to Numana Storable Foods. This is the first brand of storable foods that I am willing to put my name behind. It's food you can trust. No GMOs, no MSG, no chemical preservatives, and no fake meat. Plus, Numana doesn't just make that claim. They back it up with independent evaluation and testing. Another thing that Numana really does that excites me is the delicious vegetarian options. If your standards are as high as mine, I can confidently tell you that Numana Storable Foods are the quality choice that you've been waiting for. Numana won't just meet your expectations, they will exceed them. And that's why we're thrilled to have the good guys from Numana joining the Power Hour family. Go to powerprepper.com and learn about Numana Storable Foods. You can also call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Numana, the storable food you'll love to eat.
With news the networks refuse to use. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, our guest, Brandon Curtis, president of the Idaho 3%, as part of the Pacific Patriot Network and more. FBI turning hostile, cranking up all kinds of equipment and personnel and everything else for what? We don't know. They claim it's just, hey, they're changing the guard. They're kind of switching people out, but it's a whole lot more than that. The whole nature of the government turning almost hostile. Sad to say, but true. Now, here's what I find fascinating about this whole thing. The sheriff's department's fully locked down and barricaded, but Ammon Bundy went to public meetings. He's sitting in the bleachers. It's going to be pretty hard for them to claim that he's an armed occupier. No one's really seen Ammon with a gun, as far as I know. And Ammon's running around visiting people. He went to the airport to try to see if he couldn't sit down with the FBI. He's tried to sit down with the sheriff. He's been working with local ranchers. He's not even at the refuge or, you know, the resource center half the time. What do you say about that, Brandon? It's going to be hard to say this is like an armed dug-in takeover. It isn't true on Ammon's side.
Well, yeah, and, you know, I was up there on Saturday. I've been up there a couple times visiting with Ammon and some of the guys up there. Ammon, I've never seen him even armed with a firearm. As a matter of fact, I was up there Saturday. I didn't see any firearms, to be quite honest with you. It is definitely not an armed standoff. It's not a it's more of an occupy, you know. And interestingly enough, if you look at the occupies that have been done by the tree hugger side and the left side and the liberals, you know, here in Boise, for example, they had an occupy at the state capitol where they allowed them to be there for almost 3 years before they took action, you know. And here we are, very similar situation, and they're ramping up manpower at the FBI to do whatever it is they do, rather than talk to them.
Well, and in a way, it's far from a similar situation. This thing's 30 miles plus out, not threatening anybody, really.
Yeah, exactly. It's not threatening anybody. It's 35 miles away from a small community. People can come and go, you know, and the occupy we had here in Boise is on the Capitol lawn, right downtown Boise. So it is very different, but yet just very interesting how they approach things so differently when it's the left versus the right, or they want to ramp it up, you know, with mainstream media. Even the governor, Kate Brown, who's a complete joke of a governor for Oregon, to sit there and she sends out letters to Obama and Loretta Lynch asking for swift action. You know, come on.
Well, and the question is, what kind of action does she want? Now, here's what I find fascinating. Speaking of swift action and who's in charge where, Ammon, when he talked to the FBI, okay, the headline says, Oregon negotiations stumble as Bundy challenges FBI authority. The idea, Ammon says, agents have no standing to deal with the refuge takeover unless deputized by Harney County Dave Ward. And so Ammon's saying, show me proof that Dave Ward deputized you and gave you authorization, or you don't even belong here. And believe it or not, constitutionally speaking, he's correct, Brandon.
Yes, he is. As a matter of fact, Ammon visited the sheriff's department after he was at the FBI staging area. He asked the undersheriff there for confirmation of handing over the investigation and giving FBI jurisdiction to the county, and the undersheriff did, in fact, confirm that. I was standing there.
He confirmed that they did?
That they did give authority to the FBI to take the investigation over.
And my response is, they have authority to carry out the law enforcement duties in the county, but they don't have authority to turn it over. It's kind of like if I gave you a house and I said, you're in charge of the rental of this home here while I'm out of the country, and then you sell it. Okay, you don't have authority to turn that authority to somebody else. That authority was never granted, was it?
No, and you're very correct.
Do we have proof besides his word? Do we have paperwork?
No, and they did ask for paperwork and proof, and they were not provided that information. It was just what the undersheriff said.
How come the undersheriff talks, but the sheriff doesn't?
You know, that's a good question. The sheriff's been absent, you know. You know, we went up there 2 weekends ago to talk to the sheriff, and if you remember when we talked about that, we had to wait almost 2 hours for him to finally, you know, come in and talk to us. And it's just he's not addressing the community unless it's at the town hall meetings that have been set up by Judge Grafty and hand-selected who could be there. As a matter of fact, they have a town hall meeting scheduled for tonight. I don't know if you saw that. Judge Grafty had a town hall meeting set up for tonight. And it was the only people that could be there is if you got tickets ahead of time, and it was limited to 150 people. Only press could show up, but Judge Grafty approved. And you would be searched when you walked into the town hall meeting and had to show proof of residency in Harney County.
Now, let me stop you there for a second. This guy's not even really a judge. This judge idea doesn't give him any law judging authority as you would think of a judicial branch would be. He's just a judge because he's the leader of the county commission. He's not really even a judge, right?
Right. He's a pro temp judge.
And the reason I make that point is he's not even really a judge. Like, when you think a judge, he's not even one of those. He's just making this stuff up as he goes, right?
Well, what he's done is he's conditioned the community to think he has all this power over the last 18 years, and he's abusing and exercising a power he does not have or have the authority to do. And we launched a full investigation into Steve Grafty, and he is very corrupt. We're finding that he's got backdoor deals with environmental groups where he's railroading his community, his ranchers. His brother, Brent Grafsky, actually oversees scoping for 4.6 million acres for BLM. And they have deals they've done together. And his brother, Brent Grafsky, works for the BLM in the three counties there, including Harney County. He oversees scoping of land. So it's a huge conflict of interest that's gone on for a long time. I won't stop until I have enough evidence to put Steve Grafsky behind bars. And we're finding some very criminal information on him, and we're uncovering that.
All right. We hope we're successful in this. You know, I hope this goes well. But I don't really see it going well if the government's ramping up. They set up some kind of a triage at the hospital. They're now bringing in all kinds of military capabilities. I just don't see that being a peaceful idea. Once you get those things in place, guys like to use that stuff. That concerns me. A best-case scenario, many are now saying, Brandon, one that ends with Bundy and the Bundy supporters getting their point across to the American people, but hey, no blood on either side.
Yeah, I mean, and the other thing people got to realize is they're not going to put all these FBI agents into hotel rooms just to sit there and hang out for weeks on end. You know, they're not going to do that. They're obviously trying to, you know, put a plan in place and carry out a plan. We're not sure what that is yet. You know, we can only assume off of what we've seen with our own eyes, the vehicles that we've counted and photographed, and the equipment that we've seen on the ground.
Do we have a plan? Meaning, those of us who want to see it all peaceful, number one. Number two, does Ammon have a plan besides saying I'm going to stay there until my demands are met? Anybody else have a plan that could change things?
Well, we met with Ammon on Saturday to discuss that. You know, he's very convicted in his, you know, why he's there and what he wants to carry out. He is making great progress there. We are exposing a lot of things. He's exposing a lot of things. So it definitely is doing what it was designed to do. You know, even though we don't agree with the execution of the refuge situation, he's there now, so we got to figure out how to get him out there peacefully and without anyone being hurt.
Amen to that, sir. Anything else I've missed? I've done my best to kind of cover your latest reports and what you guys are on the ground finding out and doing. Anything I've missed?
No, and what I like to do is I'll keep you updated on the investigation that we're finding with the corruption there in the county level with the judge and some of the commissioners. You know, middle of the week, I'd like to get with you, and I'll update you and the listeners on that. That's going to be pretty groundbreaking information, and we're hoping that the FBI will get that information and launch an investigation to the criminal activity of Judge Grafsky and get that handled.
Last point, a lot of people are saying Sheriff Dave Ward used to work for the BLM, and he made his prosecutions and helped prosecute the Hammonds. That is not correct from our research. Is that what you find also?
Yes, that is not correct. There was a gentleman by the name of David Ward, different middle name, that did work for the BLM in that area. Is different from Sheriff Ward.
All right, different guy. Now, is there a relationship between this Judge Grafsky guy and David Ward? Is there some kind of relationship there?
Other than Judge Grafsky controls the sheriff and was appointed by Judge Grafsky, there is the previous sheriff stepped down for all the accusations and investigations into him for the corruption he was involved in, which was hand-in-hand with Judge Grafsky.
All right, we know you got to fly. Thank you, Brandon.
Okay.
Brandon Curtis, Idaho 3%, ladies and gentlemen. Details on the ground from Burns, Oregon, on Liberty Roundtable.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
We fought, we learned, we struggled,
we won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureFect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology, all while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureFect Ultra today by visiting PureFectFilters.com. Or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821. Or visit PureEffectFilters.com.
The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right. There's a free scientific test you could take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free, F-R-E-E free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so, C-U-R-T. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T at LibertyRoundtable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211 or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com for your free vigor score test today.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby live on your radio. This half hour is brought to you by thepowermall.com. When you want to do business with the good guys, think thepowermall.com. All right, Kurt, I want to welcome, by the way, Kurt. Hope you had a great weekend, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
I want to take on this issue a little bit. Mm-hmm. Oregon negotiations stumble as Bundy challenges FBI authority. Agents have no standing to deal with the Occupy, or the takeover, if you will, unless they're deputized by Harney County Sheriff Dave Ward. Now, when you say deputized, let me make this very clear, that doesn't mean turn over authority, Kurt. What that means is you work under the sheriff's guidance. If I'm deputized, that doesn't mean that I eclipse the sheriff, okay? It means I work under the sheriff. And so, even if they have been deputized, certainly they can maybe negotiate and be part of the... So, but the sheriff needs to stand up and answer to the people that elected... Well, in this case, he was appointed. So, but that's the problem. That's the debate. That's the battle here. And that's what we got. It's kind of an interesting reality check on the sheriff. Now, here's the question. You know, we maintain that the sheriff is the top law enforcement official in his county. We don't say country, we say county, and he is. Now, we also don't say that there's nobody above him or that there's not checks and balances. There are checks and balances, folks, just as there should be. Here's the point. The government maintains we're just crazy, that's not true, we're into this whacked out sovereignty movement, and that we don't know, and that we don't read the Constitution right, and this and that. But here's the question. If Ammon then directly challenges their authority and then they come back and say, well, we have been deputized by the sheriff, and then they go research and then the undersheriff confirms it, they know what we're saying is true, Kurt, and this proves it.
You know, it's interesting just to see the, I don't know if you call it chess game being played and the big pieces being moved around, the pieces of... the 200 extra, Fed boys or Fed, vehicles. That's got to make it where at least if they're all driving around, these guys are so worried about the, little bugs and animals and everything. They got to be concerned with all those federal vehicles driving everywhere. But it's interesting just to see, you know, like this situation with the sheriff. Is he really, I mean, is he basically a pawn in this judge's hand? Apparently the judge appointed him, picked him.
Yes.
I thought the people were supposed to pick.
Well, the other guy had to go because of corruption, and they had to do an interim appointment, Kerry.
Yeah. And, of course, there'd be no corruption now. I mean, you know, since...
Yeah, glad they fixed
the
that.
The judge made the choice, you know. I mean, hey, that's the way you want to have it.
Now, Kurt...
go ahead.
Do you have your Constitution handy?
You know, I bet I could find it.
You need to get a Constitution handy, because I want to articulate the debate that's happening regarding land in Harnett County. Now, Ammon Bundy and those guys have their beliefs. Okay, so the headline for the mainstream press says this. Authorities also say the occupiers are making demands that are not reality. They fly in the face of the U.S. Constitution. Now think about that, Kurt. Bundy's making a bunch of unconstitutional demands, they claim.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I mean, of course, the citizens are the unconstitutional ones.
Yes, sir.
You know, guys that basically have all these unconstitutional agencies, that wouldn't be, they wouldn't be unconstitutional.
All right, so you got your Constitution handy?
Yeah, I do.
All right, here's what it is. A bedrock claim of the small group led by Arizona businessman Ammon Bundy is that the Constitution limits federal ownership of land. As a result, they say, the government is violating Article 1, Section 8, Clause 17 of the Constitution. You want to whip that out?
Article 1, Section 8, Clause 17. Let's see.
Yeah, they say the government's illegally holding about 76% of Harnett County.
Which would be a little bit more than if they're not supposed to hold any. All right, so I'm at Article 1, Section 8. And
clause
so
17,
17 would be like the 17th little paragraph down. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. All right. So it says to exercise, let's see, I'm thinking, this must be 17 because it looks like 18 is the last one. To exercise exclusive legislation in all cases. Now, they start this section off, just so you understand, with the Congress shall have the power to. And then you got all these little, it's like the rules of Congress, you know, things that it can do.
Here's the list of what you're allowed to do, right?
That's right. If you're Congress, you know, it's like your job description, in my opinion.
Okay, sure.
So in this 18th part, or excuse me, was it
17th
or 17th, sorry about that. There's a, you know, short paragraph, and in that paragraph it says, to exercise exclusive legislation in all cases whatsoever over such district, talking about District of Columbia, not exceeding 10 miles square, as may by secession of particular states and the acceptance of Congress. That was back, just so you know where the
we're having trouble reading
states
this,
had to hand this over. Well, you know, this is, you know, the whole 17th part. I mean, you don't want me to skip it, I'm sure. And the acceptance of Congress become the seat of the government of the United States and to exercise like authority over all places purchased by the consent of the legislature of the state in which the same shall be for the erection of forts, magazines, arsenals, dockyards, and other needful buildings. And, you know, and then it goes to number 18.
All right, so, now, here's the point. You say this relates to what? The District of Columbia, right?
Well, the first part is talking
about
that, I think.
I'm going to just trap you and abuse you here for a minute, okay?
Yeah.
You say that it relates to the District of Columbia and that it relates to the federal, and you're right. And so that's why scholars are now saying that Bundy and you and me and everybody else, Bundy and his, quote, followers. I'm not sure that I'm a Bundy follower, but okay. Mm-hmm. Are misreading the Constitution, Kurt.
Uh-huh.
Okay, it relates to D.C. And that kind of stuff, all right? Now, You got to read the entire document, they claim, and not just the clauses and provisions that you feel like support your case, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, the provision cited by Bunding and others is mostly about the District of Columbia. An idea that there'd be a neutral place for the government to exist that wouldn't be part of any state. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
All right. But the more important provision in the Constitution that relates to government land is Article, what, IV, that's six, right?
Four. IV would be four.
Oh, yeah, you're right. IV is four. All right, so
Article four.
Section three.
Just trying to get there.
Clause two, sir. It's known as the property clause, Kurt, just so you know.
Section three, clause two.
Roger that.
All right,
this
good.
Is the property clause, sir.
All right. Everybody knows the property clause is related to Santa Claus, but anyway, you got the Congress shall have power to dispose of and make all needful rules and regulations respecting the territory or other property belonging to the United States, and nothing in this Constitution shall be so construed as to prejudice any claims of the United States or of any particular state.
So they're saying, you know what? This used to be territory stuff. Then it was property of the federal government. Congress has every authorization to do anything with it that it wants to, and nothing shall prejudice or nothing shall stand in the way of that reality, and that you just don't understand, Kurt.
Hmm. Yeah, well, all I can tell you is, in my opinion, the whole deal is pretty easily understood. When you look at the United States, you look at a map of the United States, and you look at how much, quote, federal land there is in the east area, and then how much, in my opinion, out of control usurpation of federal land there is in the west. If the eastern boys want to, you know, ante up and basically turn over so much of their ground to the federal government, then maybe we could start talking about it. But it sure doesn't look like the west is being treated in the same way the east was treated.
Well, and I would maintain that that's a lie when we say this first part, the Clause 17, relates to D.C. I agree the 10-mile square piece did, but the reasons the federal government can own land are very clear and articulated in a list.
Yeah.
Okay, now you take this other clause or this other section, and it's talking about territories. It's not talking about part of states. So the bottom line is you got a conundrum if you want to believe in both of these things until you gain an understanding from the founders, huh?
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
So I want to take on the scholars, Kurt, and say that, you know what, they claim Ammon Bundy's reading a section and he's only taking the parts that he wants, and that they got to read the whole thing. I agree with that general idea, and I think that's what these scholars are doing as well. It just depends on which part you take. If you're a liberal thug and you want the federal government to have all the ground, and then you read it their way. And if you have Ammon Bundy, then you read it Ammon Bundy's way. But let me make it very clear in my opinion, because you got to go back to the founders' intent to really understand what they meant. And I agree, when it's territory, the federal government can control the territory. But once it becomes a state, you got to talk about the equal footing clause. And we can get there in a second, but just have that in your mind, this equal footing idea. Well, the original 13 colonies, Kurt, I mean, a significant portion of their land would be federal government land if that's what they believed, right?
Well, that's the way I see it.
Okay, so here's the question. How much of that ground, if you look at the map like you were wisely bringing up, how much of that ground is federal government ground, Kurt? That would tell you the intent of the founders, wouldn't it?
Well, yeah, you look and you see there's several of these different maps, and my favorite ones basically put the federal government part in red. When you see that, you see very little, if any. I mean, it's just like little specks.
Yeah, because there might be a dockyard.
Of red. Well, or, you know, maybe an ammo place or something, sure. I guess. A post office, I guess, is a federal facility. But, man, when you go to the West, you see 80, in some cases, like Nevada, I think it was 85% of the whole state is basically red.
And the rest of it's a big city with casinos everywhere where the government gives you permission to steal from your neighbor.
Yeah, good point.
It's crazy. All right, anyway, I find that fascinating because I believe that these scholars are reading this all wrong. They have their own agendas, the problem. Right now, they've been claiming that Ammon Bundy's quite vague and he won't tell you what he wants, Kurt. I think that's a lie. He's been very clear what he wants, but I'll articulate it again. Mm-hmm. What they say is the headline from the government says this. When I say the government, it's really the government press, too, because the press just kind of carries out the government whims, right?
Yeah.
Demands by Oregon standoff leaders defy logic and law, authorities say. And here's the first thing they say. They want immediate freedom for imprisoned local ranchers. Mm-hmm. Well, that's not accurate. They're actually specifically asking for freedom for the Hammonds.
Yeah.
The reason I draw that distinction is they make you act like there's like 50 ranchers that we want freedom for. There's only two, father and son, one family who have been wronged. Mm-hmm. Again, that's the way they spin their narrative. But look, Barack pardons people for, you know, drug addicts and all kinds of people all the time. But they act like that's an unrealistic, just crazy, off-the-charts demand.
Mm-hmm.
It's easily done, folks. Don't be fooled. They want federal deeds voided and private owners to take over the property. Now, that may be true, but they also probably want the land to return to the state of Oregon. Now, you can debate whether it should go to the state, whether it should go to the, you know, people, whether it should. But when a state becomes a state, or when a territory or whatever becomes a state, should the land go to the state, Kurt, and then be sold to the people,
you know,
or given to the people? See, that's kind of what
makes sense to me. You know, remember, this land is your land.
Yeah.
You know.
So they act like that's just such a crazy idea. It's not a crazy idea. They want the county to control the refuge. Now, that's not exactly accurate. What they make you believe in this case, Kurt, is that there's a refuge here, and they want the county just to pick up all the expenses of it, and that's not even possible. That's true, that's not possible. That's not what they want, though. They want the state to control the ground, and then they want individuals to have, you know, get property. So, sure, you can't just all of a sudden say, county, here's the refuge, now you have to pay for it all. That's not exactly what we're talking about at all. In fact, there's tremendous resources under that. That could be utilized and could raise plenty of cash. So these people are leaving that out, too. They're just simplistic in their manipulation of what Am and crew really want, Kurt. So they make it sound just completely unrealistic. They say they want federal grazing permits vacated, leaving ranchers to graze as they choose. Well, if the federal government doesn't have to pay for that land or be in charge or involved in that land, why is that so crazy? They say interviews with lawyers, ranchers, federal authorities, and others make clear that little of what they want is likely to happen for reasons that are legal principle, basic property rights, economic realities and forces and costs. And then they go into this, Bundy wants the land turned over to the county, but Harney County isn't interested in becoming the, quote, refuge's landlord. And then they go right into the Steve Grasty guy, this judge that's not even really a judge. They say, where would the money come to operate that, says Steve Grasty. Harney County judge, he's not even a judge. He's just on the county commission there, folks. It's a non-judicial position that leads the county commission. But this judge is an erroneous idea. To Americans that don't understand that, you think it's a judge. It's not a judge at all. Authorities also say the occupiers are making demands that fly in the face of the U.S. Constitution. Then they go into this big old litany thing. Kurt, right now, the government in bed with the mainstream press is just painting the narrative so wrongly against Ammon Bundy and against the constitutionalists that, man, we got to row to hoe. And the only way to overturn it, to my mind, is to get a big enough piece of the media to truly force a challenge of their deceptive narrative, Kurt.
Good point. You know, I was looking up a little bit more on those lands. There's something called bigthink.com, and they have a section called Strange Maps, Federal Lands in the U.S. And they basically outlined, for example, you know, they've got the 10 states with the least amount of federal ground, you know, and they started with Connecticut at 0.4%. Now, that's not 40%. That's 0.4%. And it goes, you know, on up. I won't list the states, but I will tell you the percentages. It goes all the way up to number 10 being at 1.8%. So you got 0.4% to 1.8%, and that's states in order are Connecticut, Rhode Island, Iowa, New York, Maine, Kansas, Nebraska, Alabama, Ohio, and Illinois. So then the states with the most federal land, they start, you know, the most is 84.5%, and that one is Nevada. And, you know, and then it goes in order like this, 84.5, 69.1, 57.4. By the way, that's Utah. 53.1 is Oregon, number four. 50.2, Idaho. 48.1, Arizona. 45.3, California. 42.3, Wyoming. 41.8 New Mexico, and 36.6 Colorado. It just doesn't seem like these states were treated and are being treated fairly when you look at those numbers, does it, Sam?
No, and the problem with it, Kurt, in addition to the points that you make, is that why, if the founders were believing in the way that the scholars are interpreting the Constitution, why isn't so much of those colonies owned by the federal government then? I mean, it's pretty clear.
Yeah.
Right?
At least, now I will admit, for example, I'm surprised that Iowa, you know, being a little bit more of a western state at the time, but your original ones, you've certainly got Connecticut, Rhode Island, New York, those are certainly some of the top original colonies, aren't they? And they're in that group of, very little, all 0.8 or less, 0.8% of the federal, of the ground is federally, quote, shared, I guess is what they call it here.
Shared?
Yeah. That's
what kind of share is that?
Share, or the federal share of the ground is what that means.
Yeah. It's like, we'll share it with you as long as you pay massive fees and, go along with everything we say, right?
So you just look at those numbers and you think, something's not right.
I got another question for these people that say you need to read it all. I agree with them. You do. What if you put both of those statements together, Kurt, and try to make sense out of it? Think about it this way. The government shall have no ground except for 10 miles square for D.C. That's where it is.
Yeah.
In order to get ground, the federal government has to get permission from the state legislature to buy the land, give just compensation for it, and then they have to use it for, and then this list, dockyards and post offices and whatever.
For the erection of forts, magazines, arsenals, dockyards, and other needful buildings. And then it just has a semicolon and a couple of lines that says and on goes into number 18,
All right, now, then you take this other part that says, hey, the federal government has control of territories. That's right. Fine. But now when it becomes a state, then you got to start talking about the land must be justly compensated. So once it became a state.
The territory part doesn't apply.
Well, the territory's gone. It's a state now.
Yeah.
And so now we could talk. Anyway, all I'm saying is it's interesting when you put that all together, you develop this pretty fair picture. Pretty realistic picture that the federal government doesn't have any rights to that land whatsoever.
That's the way I see it.
All right, there you have it. Hour one of the can, hour two coming up. There's some crazy stuff going down, ladies and gentlemen. There's some teachers in the news. We'll get to that next hour. I'm not even sure how to respond to this teachers kind of deal, Kurt.
Yeah.
It's like, what, exiled teachers? Have you ever heard of them?
Yeah, I know about those guys.
All right, we'll talk about an exiled teacher group and stuff like that. And things are getting, let me just say this, crazy in a hurry. LibertyRoundtable.com, Sam and Kurt, this nation shall endure.